Hello and welcome to the HMEB podcast. I'm your host, David Cuff, the executive editor of HME Business, your source for news, trends, and insights into the home medical equipment industry. Today, we're going to be talking about the strategic value of your accreditation and what you should expect from your accrediting organization. And here today to talk about this topic is repeat podcast guest Matt Gruskin. Matt is the Chief Operating Officer of the Board of Certification and Accreditation, otherwise known as BOC in the industry. Matt, welcome again to the podcast. It's great to have you back.
Thanks, David. I appreciate you guys inviting me.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Matt, everybody in the industry that works with Medicare and even those that don't know that you need to be accredited to bill Medicare as a DMEPOS supplier. But accreditation goes a lot deeper than that. Matt, what is the strategic value of Medicare accreditation?
Yeah, so you're 100% correct, right? Everybody has to have the accreditation to participate in the Medicare program as a DMEPOS provider. But I heard a quote once, and I think it's very relevant right here. Strategy without a process is little more than just a list.
I think that's the story of my life, Matt.
In this case, you know, accreditation, I mean, everybody knows that's the baseline, right? But mm-hmm. it's really what you do above and beyond that, which is going to differentiate you in the marketplace. You know, we have a lot of providers that work with us that really take that some of these standards as a starting point and expand on those and create a strategy around some of those accreditation standards, whether they're the quality standards or the supplier standards. I could give you an example if you want.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sure. You know, I think the easiest one, which we've seen a lot of people start really jumping on, is in regards to the quality assessments and follow-up with patients, which, you know, is a standard, right? So some of the exceptional suppliers that we work with take that set of standards and follow up with the patient and really change it more into a patient engagement tool, meaning that there's consistent follow-up with that patient, whether it's on, you know, shortly after they deliver the device to long-term, and then they actually provide that follow-up to their referral sources to let them know. I mean, so it comes really full circle. So, I mean, that's not something that, you know, you're required to do. You're only required to follow up with the patient. It's that strategy that they built on top of that, which I think really makes them stand out, right?
Yeah, it sounds to me like this is a lot of, this really speaks to what people have been saying about when it comes to patient-centered care, right? Mm-hmm. Define that term a little bit more for the audience? You know, what really is patient-centered care?
Sure. So I think, I mean, when you look at patient-centered care as a DMEPOS provider, it's really starting with that patient in the middle, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody kind of focuses on, you know, the business and, you know, supplying those products and looking at revenue. But if you can really focus on the patient and your communities at large and start there and work your way out, that is patient-centered care. So a perfect example, let's think about a patient with diabetes, right?
Okay.
So it's not only supplying that patient with the continuous glucose monitor, mm-hmm. it's supplying them with the information about the tracking their continuous glucose monitor. It's the education from that patient, it's educating the family, and it's really working with the providers that actually sent you that patient and letting them know that, you know, following up with them. But again, I think it needs to start with the patient in the middle, not with the continuous glucose monitors on the shelf, right?
Got it. And so, and accreditation, because it sets up that, that sort of process for following up with the patient, you're going to be able to do that. You've got some tools that kind of facilitate that patient-centered care.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it's kind of interesting if you start thinking about it. Medicare has, I think the statistic is 10,000 patients a day entering the Medicare program. So mm-hmm. instead of thinking about, you know, the business per se, I mean, maybe DME providers should start thinking about those patients and then what those patients actually need and starting with the patient in the middle.
There you go. Are there other tools that an AO can provide that help drive that patient-centered care?
Yeah. I mean, I fundamentally believe that providers should really lean on their AO for resources that help them meet the needs of their community. There's some awesome tools out there. There's a tool, it's called the Interactive Atlas of Chronic Care Conditions. Have you heard of that, or David?
No, I haven't. Tell me a bit about that.
Yeah, so this is a free tool from CMS that exists that actually you can go in there and put in your zip code, and it's an interactive map. And you can choose your disease state. So if you chose COPD, you could zoom in to your county or the surrounding counties, and it would show you the prevalence of COPD in that area.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it's awesome. And I think it's wildly underused from DME providers.
It speaks so much. You know, a big topic that we've been driving for the past 2 years in the magazine and in the podcast and on the website and everything else that I can try and do is about like a data-backed approach to your business and the marketplace. And that just sounds like an absolute, like almost like a Rosetta Stone for the local healthcare marketplace.
Yeah, no, it's an awesome tool. And again, it's chronic diseases. So it expands, across all the services that DME providers provide. It deals with those disease states. I mean, because so much of DME revolves around chronic care, if you really start thinking about it. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, are you familiar with the PDAC crosswalk?
Not at all.
So the PDAC crosswalk is actually the only tool that's really from CMS or any of its contractors that link HCPCS codes with product categories, that could be used in their accreditation or in their CMS enrollment. So essentially you can start with a product and say, this is going to help these people, and then walk it back and say, oh my God, I can't dispense this, in my community because I'm not accredited for it or enrolled with that product category. So you can actually work your way through the process. So finding that chronic disease, identifying what the need for that chronic disease is, and then adding it to your accreditation. I mean, that's a strategic plan that, your accrediting organization should really be able to help you with if you ask them.
So this is where they're really kind of being a community healthcare resource at that point.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
So let's say a provider, just to kind of walk things through the steps for the folks in the audience. So a provider uses these data resources, they see an opportunity, then they look at the HCPCS codes related to it, and then they look at the product categories related to that, and they're like, I'm not accredited. So then they go to their accrediting organization and they want to, expand their accreditation to take on a new category. How does that process kind of work?
Yeah. So your accrediting organization should be responsive to you, right? I mean, so we have people all the time reaching out to us that we accredit adding product categories, and we evaluate those product categories and making sure that they're compliant with them and following the process. Some of them obviously require resurveys. And if they do, we send a survey out there as quick as possible to address and add those product categories. One of the things that I know BOC does that I'm not sure if other AOs do is we have a service that we provide called Expedite. So if you wanted to add a product category, or I mean, it could even be for a new accreditation, as long as you apply and tell us that you need the expedited service, we will try to have a surveyor. We will have a surveyor out there within 10 business days to perform that survey. And I think that just speaks to, being responsive to your community, being responsive to your referral providers. And again, we talked about being patient-centered. That's part of being patient-centered, having the products that those patients need when they need it.
And I would imagine that speed can often really be of the essence just in terms of time to market. And that, I know that like the success rate of new startups in DME is tough. I would imagine that starting up new lines is also difficult, that you've really got to have all your ducks in a row so that the market and referral partners and patients and everybody involved in that continuum of care feels confident in the provider's expertise.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the, values of accreditation, right? Once you have that accreditation, it kind of speaks to, the community that you're ready to take care of that patient, protect that patient, and provide, you know, equipment or devices safely. Interesting you mentioned the sustainability or the speed to market. I came across a statistic recently from the Bureau of Labor and Statistics saying that 20% of healthcare startups fail in the first year.
That's brutal.
Yeah, and I think it followed it up with 25% fail by year two. So, you know, accreditation, I really believe accreditation shouldn't just be looked at as an obstacle or a barrier to entry. It should be looked at as a roadmap and a plan so you don't become one of those statistics.
So are there other tools that can help a provider not be a statistic?
Yeah, BOC, at BOC, we actually have a legislative analyst, a legislative and regulatory analyst that really, you know, looks at the market and looks at trends and information. And we try to disseminate that information to our stakeholders, whether they're the certificates or accredited organizations. And just that way they can be in front of some of these things, right? For example, you know, the move to the prior auths for certain orthotics that happened. So the minute we found out about that, we tried to communicate that, you know, so people wouldn't be hurt by that change and be prepared for it. You know, another interesting thing that we've discussed with some of our customers is understanding trends in your community, right? I think a good example of that is I was talking to someone that lives in a community, and there's a lot of those baby boomers that we spoke about earlier, those 10,000 a day that are joining Medicare that are out there, and it's supposedly a very active community, right? This one provider was saying, how can I expand my business? And interestingly enough, they weren't providing orthotic care, but they were in such an active community. So, you know, we had a discussion about that, and we said this could be an interesting product category. So they actually identified the trend, right? They identified this group of people that were very active that could benefit from these this one product category that they didn't have. So it's interesting. Sometimes you just got to stop and look around you and look around your community, and the answer may actually be there.
But at the same time, you guys don't work as consultants. I think that's important to distinguish in the audience's mind that, you know, an accrediting organization is there to help and they've got resources, but you guys aren't consultants. That's not your job, right?
Yes. Yeah. I appreciate you you bringing that up, because I do want to be very clear that you know, an AO should not be a consultant. You should be able to lean on your AO for resources, and they should try to point you in the right direction, but ultimately they shouldn't be operating as a consultant.
And then you guys also have a certified durable medical equipment specialist distinction. What's that? Is that another way that providers can kind of flex their expertise? Is it a staff level certification? What is that?
Yeah. So the CDME is the Certified Durable Medical Equipment Specialist certification. And it to my knowledge, it is one of the only certifications in the DME field that validates you as an individual that is knowledgeable and understands the DME business, right? It is an entry-level certificate, meaning that the people that are eligible for the certificate actually only have to operate in or be involved in DME for a minimum of, I believe it's 3 months. Interestingly enough, we recently surveyed all of our certified DMEs across the country, and 70% of those DME CDMEs came back and responded that they were of manager level or higher. So while it's an entry level certification, it's become quite clear that the people that are interested in the certification are not those entry-level people all the time. They are these people that have been in DME for a while and want to validate that they have the knowledge base and then have a credential behind their name, you know, showing that they are DME experts, right?
Yeah, I'm sure that's got to build a lot of trust to both the patients and the referral partners.
Yeah, I it definitely does. And, you know, something that I think is really interesting is we've had organization or facilities actually build it into their policies to require it for all of their staff as like a baseline. And then on top of that, I had a conversation recently with a CDME that actually works for one of the large payers in their audit department. And now that payer actually put the CDME credential as a required credential for their auditors in the DME department. So
that's interesting.
Yeah. So, you know, we're starting to see that credential really take off. You know, we offer that credential. We offer a preparatory class for that test at MedTrade. So one is actually coming up very soon.
Yeah, there you go. We've got MedTrade coming up right at the end of October, October 24th through 26th. All right. Well, Matt, this is a ton of stuff. It sounds like there's a lot of ways very strategically that a provider can leverage their accreditation and the work that they do with their accrediting organization. If providers want to find out more, how can all the listeners in the audience get to that information?
Sure. So I think the best way to do it is they can actually contact me directly at Matt Gruskin. So that's M-A-T-T dot Gruskin, G-R-U-S-K-I-N at bocusa.org. And I'm happy to, you know, have a conversation or try to point someone in the right direction. Or, you know, if you want to check us out online, the BOC website is an amazing resource. And for any type of credentialing questions in the DMEPO space, which is bocusa.org.
Okay, easy enough. Hey, Matt, this has been a great podcast and a really good interview. Thanks very much for the personal email address. That was great. And then also the web address. I really appreciate you being on the podcast.
Thanks again, David. We appreciate the invite.
Okay. Thanks again to Matt for being on the podcast. And again, you can find out more at www.bocusa.org, or as Matt generously suggested, you can email him at matt.gruskin, that's G-R-U-S-K-I-N, at bocusa.org. Okay, before I sign off, if you like today's episode, please take a quick second to rate and review. Also, if you haven't already, make sure to click the subscribe button so that you get every new episode. Remember, you keep listening and we'll keep posting. And if you want to stay on top of everything that's happening in the industry, make sure to check out hme-business.com and subscribe to eSource, our weekly e-newsletter service there. And if you haven't done so already, make sure to subscribe to the print magazine there. You can also get that as a digital flipbook edition. That's actually my favorite way to read it. Save a tree, and it's a lot easier to keep around and page through. Again, that's hme-business.com. Of course, you can follow us on social media. We're at HME Business on all the services, and I'm at Post Acute News on Twitter, and I'm also on LinkedIn as well under my name. Lastly, if you have any feedback, suggestions, or requests, don't be afraid to reach out and hit me up via email. I'll give you my email address as well. That's DKO, P as in Paul, F as in Franklin, at 1105media.com. Thank you all very much for listening. We'll keep covering important HME business topics such as accreditation. But for now, goodbye until the next HMEB podcast.